Welcome to the RJ's Parenting Podcast. This is Wendy Grinberg, Parenting Specialist, and today I'm speaking with Dr. Edward Hallowell. Dr. Hallowell is a child and adult psychiatrist and founder of the Hallowell Centers in Sudbury, Massachusetts and New York City. He is the author of 18 books on various psychological topics, including parenting, the childhood roots of happiness in life, and strategies on handling your fast-paced life. Today, Dr. Hallowell talks about connection as the key to a happy life.
Connection is really the driving force in happy, successful lives. And I would say connection lies behind virtually every good thing in life, and disconnection is the cause of most of the bad things we see. So this force of connection, which is magical, I mean, it's just transformative. There's nothing like it. Nothing is as powerful in life as connection. At its absolute most distilled, it's called love. And nothing changes a person for the better than love, and nothing changes a person for the worse than lack of love. You know, so as a parent, what you really want to do above all else for your child is create a connected childhood. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it starts at birth, or the moment you adopt your child, the moment you have a baby the first time, whether by adoption or by natural childbirth, you change forever. And all of us parents can identify instantly. You enter into a permanent state of psychosis. So nature or God, I happen to believe in God, so I say God, gives us a running start by putting us into this very heightened state of devotion where we're willing to make the sacrifices that parents have to make, not only willing but eager. We're saying, yes, I want to. I'll do anything for this child. And that's the sort of the spinal column, if you will, of a connected childhood. I think many other ingredients go into a connected childhood. You also feel a connection to siblings and to extended family. And don't think if you have conflict in your family, that means you're not connected. Just the opposite. Conflict and connection go hand in hand. The opposite of connection is indifference. The time to worry is when you don't fight, when you don't care, when you don't think of the other person. That's disconnection. So you know, long live the conflicted family. Just try to work out ways of, you know, where you don't hurt each other too much of settling the disputes. And what else goes into it? Well, connection to neighbors, to friends. And now it's to cyber neighbors. You know, the whole social network scene, it becomes part of a connected childhood. And then connection to school. And this is really sort of the next big step. You know, once a child feels connected with his family and his friends, or her family and her friends, then school is the next big social step, and it's extraordinary. What matters is how you feel at school, not the numbers you put up. Now, the two often go hand in hand, usually go hand in hand. You tend to do well in school if you feel good while you're there. But the real learning disability, and I'm a specialist in learning disabilities, is not ADD or dyslexia, both of which I have and wouldn't trade them for the world. I see them as gifts that are often hard to unwrap. The real disabilities are fear and shame and feeling like a loser and, you know, feeling uncomfortable and unwanted and unwelcomed at school. And there's tremendous data to support this. The National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health, which was done following Columbine, looked at a sample of some 15,000 kids from around the United States, a true cross-section of American youth between the ages of 8 and 14. And they gathered all the data you could gather on these kids, and they also interviewed them, thank goodness. And then they followed the kids, and from time to time they'd look at the data and see what are the factors that will predict which kids will get into trouble and which kids won't. And what do you think they found? The objective factors didn't predict, so it wasn't grade point average. It wasn't the family income. It wasn't public school or private school. It wasn't religion. It wasn't what part of the country you lived in. It wasn't gender. The predictive factors, the most important predictive factors, came through on the subjective interviews with the kids. Number one, most important, did the child report that he or she felt connected at home? Didn't matter so much who lived at home, but it didn't matter how you felt at home. And when you think about it, that makes a lot of sense. So the kids who felt connected at home, felt safe, felt cared for, felt loved and noticed, and those are the kids who were protected. And the other most important factor, the number two factor, did the child report that he or she felt connected at school? The kids who felt connected at home and at school were very unlikely to get into trouble or to fail academically. The kids who felt disconnected at home and at school were very likely to get into trouble, to get into drugs, violent behavior, depression, what have you. And the kids who were yes and one, no and the other, were somewhere in between. The beauty of this finding is these are variables that are a whole lot easier to regulate than family income or test scores, for example. But you can pretty much regulate whether your child feels connected at home or at school. And as a parent, if you pay attention to that, if you make sure your child feels loved and protected at home, and if you make sure your kid doesn't feel ostracized or like a loser at school, then you are planting the seeds of future success. But if your child feels disconnected at home or at school, then that's a big problem. Far more worrisome problem, by the way, than poor test scores. Thank goodness, a lot easier to fix if you take it seriously. And the problem is a lot of people don't take it seriously, and they truly should.
What if your child is having trouble connecting to friends? I mean, you talked about you don't have to be the most popular kid in the school. How many friends are enough friends?
One friend is enough friends. Zero friends is not enough friends. So if you're having trouble and you can't make any friends, then a parent should take action. Either see a professional, talk to the school, talk to the teacher. Often teachers can kind of behind the scenes arrange friends, you know, like an arranged marriage or something. You want to make sure the kid has one friend, something to look forward to at school, even if it's just lunch or recess. Preferably one friend, and that's all it takes. One good friend is enough. The goal is not to be popular. The goal is to feel a connection. The state that's damaging is when you feel lonely. Then you need some help. Now, what else goes into this connected childhood? Well, connection to activities you love, to games and sports, connection to nature, to the whole outdoors world, very important. Connection to a pet, if you can possibly have a pet, have one. Connection to the past, some awareness of where you came from, what are your family traditions, religious traditions, ethnic traditions, who were your grandparents and who were their grandparents and what's the story, where did all this come from? And very important to raise kids with an awareness of that and sort of the story of their past, their connection to the past, so they feel viscerally, sort of involved in the past and that it's not, they would just plop down here out of nowhere. Connection to teams and groups and clubs and organizations, connection to any kind of group of people that's larger than the individual, and connection to some kind of spiritual reality. I mean, I happen to be an Episcopalian, and I know a lot of your audience is Jewish, and it doesn't really matter what the flavor is, but you want to have some connection to whatever it is that's beyond knowledge. It's a very important part of human existence that often gets skipped over in this highly scientific age. That's where a lot of the biggest questions reside. You know, why is there evil in the world? What happens to us after we die? Those kind of questions. And you want to introduce kids to those and give them a forum to discuss them, wonder about them, celebrate them, a place to bring these big questions to and share them with others. And that's what I mean by the spiritual connection. Now, you lay out this banquet of connection for a child. And notice, almost all of it is free and infinite in supply. This is not a natural resource that is being depleted. In fact, we're not using it nearly enough. We're turning to other interventions. You know, instead of connection, we're turning to grades or to money or to fame. And the heart and soul of what's the best in life is this force that I call connection. As you raise a child in this sort of wonderful matrix of positive connection, you will find something wonderful happen. I've seen it now 3 times with my 3 kids who are now 21, 18, and 15. The child becomes positively connected to him or herself and to life. And that sense of I like me and I like my life, that's a wonderful, wonderful sort of reverberating circuit. When that gets going, it just builds over time. It continues to build, and that sense of positive energy just fuels the rest of your life. And the sense of self-esteem. Now, you don't have to love yourself. I think that term has been overdone in mental health. It's been my experience that a lot of people who love themselves really shouldn't, you know. But what I want for my kids is that they like themselves enough that they can be real, they can be genuine. They don't have to put on airs. They don't have to pretend to be someone they're not. And if you raise a kid in this positively connected matrix, as I like to call it, the positive connection to self and to life naturally happens. It's beautiful to see. It's just a wonderful and jubilant kind of experience to follow a child along as this development occurs.
Thank you for listening to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. Let us know what you think and find more parenting resources at urj.org/parents.